Okay, today is Daf Samach Aleph. We're going to start at the Mishnah on Samach Amud Bet. We'll be makdish our shiur today for Yom HaZikaron to soldiers killed in service of our country and victims of terrorism. Refuot Shlemot Leboaz Ben Shoshana Dvorah Batino Is Avram Shimon Ben Chana Rodi Pnimi Bar Recha Frida Chaya Malka Esther Bat Zipporah Yosef Ben Rachel Leah Bat Rivka Yael Mir Bat Chaya Yaakov Ben Rosa Daphna Chaya Bat Sara Tali Rachel Bat Tamar Sara Liloi Nishmat Chana Bat Atara Reza Bat Sara Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov Halevi and Mela. Okay, now we're talking about, we saw this other case, now we're going to see another very similar case. Al Menat Sheyeshli Beit Kor Afar. If he says, I'm going to betroth you under the condition that I have a certain amount of property, okay, Beit Kor is 50 by 50 amma squared. It's, I think, something like, so the amount, 18,000 square meters, something, some very large, big piece of land.
The size of the courtyard is 50 amos by 50 amos, or 5,000 square amos.
Right, but and what is that in meters? I think it's... It doesn't tell you there. It's, right.
Right.
It says here, it's an area of 18,750 square meters. Okay, so we're talking about a very large size piece of land. Remember this because we're going to talk about this plot of land soon. If he says, I'm betrothing you upon the condition that you have this, that I have this amount of land, right? It sounds like he's a little bit showing off and saying, oh, you know, I promise we're set for life, you know, I have a big piece of land. Harezo mikudeshet, v'yeshlo, but only in the condition that he actually has it, right? Now, what's interesting here, we saw last time the same thing, and we said that he needs edim to prove it. Let's say he doesn't have edim. So the Rambam paskins, if he doesn't have edim, then know for sure he's got this amount of land, then she's suffek mikudeshet. That is, we still have to be choshesh that maybe he has it. Amanat sheyeshli b'makom ploni, he commits to her that he has land in a particular place. So again, he has to actually have land in that place, and if not, she's not betrothed. By the way, before we move on, I wanted to point out that Rashba says that it's also any other kind of claim he makes like this, but only under the condition that it's a claim on something that should be makpid on. In other words, it could be she particularly wants a piece of land in a certain area for various reasons. If it's something that has no practical ramifications and he just says, oh, by the way, I happen to have whatever, and it's not really something that has significance, then it wouldn't be a condition that's binding. Amanat she'erech beit kor afar, okay, that I'll show you beit kor afar, meaning I'll show you that I have this. Harezo mekudeshet v'yarena. Again, he has to show her. V'imhera v'bik'ah ena mekudeshet. This is exactly parallel to the last mission, right? And if he shows her in a place where it doesn't belong to him, when he said, I'm showing you, it doesn't mean I'm showing you any side, you know, Beit Kor of land. It's saying, I'm showing you what's mine. So if he just shows her on some bik'ah, then it's not relevant. V'nichu shema yeshlo. So now they say, shouldn't we be concerned? Even if we can't prove it, maybe he does have it. V'od tanya, and not only that, but we have a braita. This is exactly the parallel of last sugya. Chayshin on shema yeshlo. We have a braita that says, even if there's no edim, like the Rambam Paskin, right? So even if there's no edim, we're choshesh that maybe he has. So what are the answer? Lo kasha habikidushay vaday habikidushay safek, and that leads to the Rambam Psak, that if this kidushay, you know, if it's our Mishnah is talking only on the realm of is she definitely mekudeshet. The Braita that said that if he doesn't have, if we don't know that he has for sure, we're still choshesh, maybe he does have, means that she's suffek mekudeshet. So they were talking on a suffek plane, and ours was talking on a badai plane, and therefore there's no contradiction. So now they say, lamali lebitnika be'arav, lamali lebitnika be'zuze. We just had this exact same sugi, the exact same thing about money. Why do we have to teach both about money and about land? Tzricha. By the way, this is a more convincing question than the other questions we had yesterday about having it in divorce and having it in marriage. Because there you say, okay, well, that was in one Masechet, this is a different Masechet, totally different topics. Here, one Mishnah right after the other, so it really begs the question. Tzricha, you need them both. Not everybody's upfront about what kind of money they have, right? But everybody knows who owns property. We've talked about this before, that kale itle means word gets around. once, first of all, as soon as somebody purchases something, it gets published somewhere, you know, everybody basically knows about it. So in the case of land, you might have thought, right, that since everybody knows about it, well, then in a case where it's, nobody knows, well, then you might assume, oh, well, clearly he doesn't have it. Whereas money, since people generally hide money, therefore you might think it would be more of a suffix. Amanat sheyeshli b'makom ploni. If he says I have in a particular place, so again, if he has, then she's mekudeshet. So they say pshita. Obviously, it's a condition, and obviously, if the condition is true, it's true. If it's not, it's not. Then the kiddushin is not valid. So ma'u detema amalei my nafka lachmina ana tarachnu maitina kamash malan. Let's say he said I have land here, which would be very convenient for her, and it turns out his land was farther away, and it's inconvenient for her. So you might have thought, well, he's saying, I'll bring you whatever you need from that land. So what if the land's far away? If you need stuff, produce from it, I'll bring it for you. I'll do all the, you know, the hard work. It shouldn't really make a difference to you. Kamash Milan, no, we assume that it does make a difference to her, and therefore it's not a valid betrothal. Amanat she'erech beit kor afar. Tana, okay, this is written strangely with an aleph, but it just means regular Tana, like there's a braita that says, Lo nitkavna zo ela lirot mishelo. Okay, which was the exact same thing we had in the last one, which is when he says that I'll show you, what he meant was, I'll show you, meaning I have. Okay, it's mine. V'im hera bebika ena mekudeshet, pshita. Right? Obviously, she's not mekudeshet. So then the answer, lo tzricha dinaki bedistura. Okay, so now they're saying, maybe, we learned about arisut. What is arisut? That's sharecropping. Let's say he shows her a piece of land. This is exactly the parallel with the money changer. Remember what we said about the money changer? That if he shows her money that's on the table, it's not his, but he's going to make a profit off of it. So same thing here. If he shows her land and it's not his, but he owns a portion of it because he's a sharecropper and he gets a percentage of what he does, so it's also not good because it's not owned by him. Because it has to be something that's fully owned by him and not something he just has a percentage in. Okay, now we're going to ask a question. Gabe hekdesh tnan, we're going to bring a case of hekdesh where the law is a particular way, and then we're going to bring a law about a sale. And the law is going to be different about hekdesh and a sale, and the question is going to be, where does betrothal, what's it more similar to? The hekdesh halacha or the sale halacha? So now we're going to say, hamakdish sadehu b'sh'at hayovel, notem b'zera chomer se'orim 50 shekel kesef. If you're makdish a field, now here's a machloket about what this means. Either bishat hayovel or bishnat hayovel. Okay, either. What does it mean bishat hayovel? Bishat hayovel means when the yovel year is practiced. Okay, because at a certain point, even in Bayit Sheni, you have to have rov ha'am in Eretz Yisrael in order to practice yovel. So there was a certain point where there was a Beit HaMikdash still, but there was no yovel. So according to the first interpretation, it means, if you say my field is going to be hekdesh in the time that the yovel is practiced, then for a zerah chomer se'orim, which is basically equated with a beit kor, okay, the size that we talked about, you pay 50 shekel kesef. So you say I'm makdish my field. If it's a beit kor, then what does it mean? We don't care the value of your particular piece of land. It goes by right. It's like if you're selling a house. And sometimes it goes by the value of the house, and sometimes it goes by the value, I mean, obviously it's a combination, the value of the land itself, right? But sometimes you're selling a house that has no value in it whatsoever, but the land is what's valuable, and you're selling it for the value of the land. So what they're saying is when the yovel was in existence, it was a base price, and it went based on the value of the karka itself, and not the space. Went by space and not by what the quality of the land was. Okay, whereas according to this, when Yovel was no longer in existence, then it started to go by each piece of land dependent on its value. The other option says Bishnat HaYovel. Now, what's the difference in the Yovel year or any other year? Because as the years go past Yovel, what happens to the value of the land? It decreases in value. Because if you were going to sell the land in the Yovel year, so the person's buying it for 50 years or 49 years. But if you're selling it 25 years in, they know they're going to have to return the land at a certain point. So, you know, down the road. So therefore, the value is going to decrease, and maybe that's why. But either which way you read it, if you're Makdisha Sadeh, Shnat HaYovel, you give 50 shekel kesef for a beit kor of land. Hayu nika'im amukim asarat tvachim. This is the important part for our purposes. If there were, ridges in the land, or clefts in the land? Okay, it's like a break in the land. And it was deep, asarat tvachim, 10 tvachim deep. Or slaim gvohim asarat tvachim. By the way, we remember this from Rishuyo. 10 tvachim is always like a minimum for, it's like a Rishuda Yachid is 10 tvachim tall. Or there was a big rock in the middle of the property, 10 tvachim high. Ein nimdadim ima. Okay? That space is not measured within the property of the Beit Kor. So if you have a Beit Kor, but it has all sorts of 10 tvachim high or 10 tvachim deep, clefts or rocks, so they don't get measured within this Beit Kor when you're measuring it. Pachot miken, but if they're less than 10 tvachim tall or less than 10 tvachim deep, then they are measured. V'havinam ba, okay, according to Rashi, this means that the difference between them is that when you come to measuring, those are measured by the value of them rather than the space, the nika'im and the question, the Gemara now is going to be, let's see the question. V'havinam ba nihide b'hade aralo kidshu nikdashu ba'apeh nafshayhu. The question is, even though they're not considered hekdesh with this sadeh, when you're measuring this field, the guy was makdish, so you deduct it from the amount. However, they should be kodesh on their own. Like, they also have a certain value. Okay? The assumption is that you can somewhat plant in these areas. Okay? That's going to be questionable a little bit, but we'll see. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, maybe you're not going to count it. Now they're going to say, a sadeh has a unique halacha that it goes by the space. But at least these should go by what they're valued at, right? Maybe they're worth less than the space itself, but they're worth something. So maybe they should at least be valued somewhat. There's a few different ways of reading this. Some people say maybe it should be a whole separate field. And we're going to see this later, that the Gemara assumes that if you have this big rock in the middle, then it kind of breaks up the field, and then maybe it would be its own separate area that you would be judging on its own. So then they say, v'chitema, if you want to say, kama de lo habi beit kor lo chashiv, maybe we don't count these at all because this whole measurement, 50 shekel for a beit kor, means that any less than that, maybe it's not as significant at all. Maybe you only give the value of a field, 50 shekel for a beit kor, but any less than that you wouldn't. But that's clearly not the case. Rabinu, because that would contradict this brighter that says, sadeh, the pasuk there says, V'im miste achuzato. By the way, I should have read the pasuk before, but if you look in the Torah or the first pasuk, it's Vayikra Kaf Zayin Tet Zayin. It says, V'im miste achuzato yakdish. Okay, if you take from miste achuza and you make it hekdish, ish lashem, right? A person is makdisha to God. V'haya erkecha lefi zaro zera chomer seorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. Okay, so that's where the pasuk says it explicitly. So if you notice, what word appears there? Sadeh. So what are they darshan from sadeh? Matamud lomar. Why did you need to add the word sadeh? Lefi shenemar, zera chomer seorim b'chamishim, ein li ela sheikdish b'inyan hazeh. Right? It sounds like from the pasuk that only if you're makdisha beit kor, do you have to value it like this. But minayin l'rabot letech v'chatzi letech se'ah tirkav v'chatzi tirkav v'afilu rova. Rova is a rova of a kav, a quarter of a kav. So now they're saying, what if you took all different measurements of land that were less than that? Minayin. How do you know that what? And obviously, if you're makdisha field that's less than that, it's hekdesh, right? And you have to give the value. But again, what they're teaching you is the value is based on the space, right, and not on the actual piece of land. So you might have thought if it was less than that, maybe it would be value based on the land itself and what actually this piece is worth. But Talmud Lamar Sadeh, what does Sadeh teach you? Mikol Makom. Any kind of size, 50 to a Beit Kor is the formula. If it's of a quarter, so it'll be a quarter of that. If it's a fifth, it'll be a fifth of that. So now that's why what they tried to say is maybe you'd see these sla'im and nika'im are less than that amount and therefore not relevant here, not the same halakha, but they say no. If it's just a matter that they're less than a beit kor, they'd still be within this halakha, it would just be proportional. So now they're still with their question. So what do they answer? Amar mar ukva barchama, hacha b'nika'im aleim mayim askinan, mishum dela b'nei zri'a ninhu. When we say that we deduct this amount and we don't measure it with the rest of it, it's only areas like, okay, for right now they seem to have gotten off the sela. They're really talking about the nika'im, that these, let's say, maybe grooves is a good word. These grooves are filled with water, in which case you can't plant in them. So if they're ra'oi lizria, okay, and this is the important conclusion that's going to come out of this studio.
Unless you're doing hydroponic growing.
Okay, if they're ra'oi lizria, okay, you can plant them, then according to this, they would be nimdadim. Okay, this is the halakha by Hekdesh. You follow? That's the conclusion. Okay, the conclusion is that when they excluded the Nika'im and the Sla'im, it was because they're low Ra'oi Lizriya. But if they're Ra'oi Lizriya, then you would include them. Daikanami Dikatane, and how could we prove that this is what they mean, that they were Dafka talking about ones that you can't plant? Dumiya de Sla'im Gidolim, Shmamina. What does it say? It said there, Hamakdish Sadeh, we'll look back at the top of the page. So they darshan, obviously they use gvohim to say gvohim asarat vachim, but they're going to say they picked high slaim because they were trying to say nikaim like the slaim. Very tall rocks you certainly can't plant on. If there's a little rocks you can maybe plant around it somewhat, you know, it can, I mean, even a rock is hard to plant on it, but they're basically saying the Nika'im are like the Sla'im, and the Sla'im, you clearly can't plant, huh? So that's what it means. So then they say, Ihachi, afilu pachomi kenami. So if that's the case, it shouldn't matter whether they're 10 tefachim deep or right, 10 tefachim high. If they're not Ro'el Lizriya, they're not Nimdadim. So why specifically did it say that? So what do they say? If it's less than 10 tefachim, okay, remember, what did we say? 10 tefachim is its own reshut. If it's less than 10 tefachim, then nage da'ara mikru, shadra da'ara mikru. They're called cracks in the ground or the spine of the ground. And then what does it mean? Right? If you have a little rock jutting out or a little, then it's already just considered part of the ground and it's batel. Right? Then we say, this doesn't even have its own identity. Only once it's 10 tefachim high does it have its own identity, and then we can say, well, based on this identity, do we say it's Ra'oi Lizriya and it's included in the field, or it's not Ra'oi Lizriya, it's not included. If it doesn't even have its own identity, its own name, and it's just patel to the ground, well, then it's just included in this field, even if you can't plant in it. Okay, so that's why it has to be 10 tefachim, that's a side issue. Okay, so remember, conclusion, by Hekdesh, Ra'oi Lizriya, we count it as part of the measurement. In Mecher, we're going to obviously see the opposite. Okay, you sell a plot of land, you say, I'm selling you a bait core of land. Now, within this land, you have these nika'im or sla'im. So, when you're measuring the land, exactly what's going to be the border of this guy's field that you sold him? So you don't include those areas. If the sela or the neka is 10 tefachim high or deep, you don't count it in the plot. So here, okay, and now we're going to see. Ba'amar marukva brachama, af al pisha emaleim mayim. And he says, even if they're not full of water and you can plant there. So according to this by Mecher, what do we have? Ra'oi lizria, vit. The low Ra'oi Lizriya, right, sorry, Ra'oi Lizriya in Nimdadim. Okay, it's the opposite conclusion. Okay, if it's even, and it's even Ra'oi Lizriya, obviously not Ra'oi Lizriya, but even Ra'oi Lizriya, it won't get counted. Okay, so now we're going to say, my time, what's the reason by a mecher? Amara papa, lepisha ein adam rotseshi yitena ma'ota b'sadeh echad, v'yarelo kishnayim u'kishlosha mekomot. What happens when you buy a field? You're buying the field to work the field, right? Now, if you have this big sela in the middle, it's going to be as if you have, let's say you have two big sla'im or two big nika'im or one and one. It's as if you have three separate fields. It separates your field. So you're in the middle of plowing and you have to start going around and it's a headache. So if someone's buying a field and they agree to a baked core, they want a full baked core without these breaks in the middle that kind of split up his field into two or three separate fields. Okay, that's what it means. Yarelo, it'll be to him like Kishnaim u'Kishlosha Mekomot. So, Hachanami, Hachamai. So what about in our case? He says to a woman, I'm betrothing you with a Beit Kor field. Well, do we include the Sla'im and the Ka'im, or do we not include them? Right? Only do we include them if they're Ra'oilas Riyah, do we say they're counted, or even right, even if they're Ra'oilas Riyah, do we count them or not, like the Mecher or like the Hekdesh? So what do we answer? Lehekdesh medamina. Oh, sorry, this is the question. Still, lehekdesh medamina la, or lemecher medamina la. So now the answer: mistabra lehekdesh medamina la, da amar la, ana tarachna bizarana umaitina. Again, this is like what we saw before, but there we reject it. Here we say it's like hekdesh; we can count it because he'll say, "Oh, I'll do the hard work for you." Okay, don't worry that this is looks like two, three separate fields. I'll do the work for you. Okay. I was trying to think about whether this whole thing about him saying, oh, I can bring you the stuff from far, and I can, is that the way it worked in the relationship? Like, she did all the work in the house, and he did the work outside the house. So these are things that are more his domain. And maybe because of that, you know, interestingly enough, they didn't count it in the first case, but in this case, they did count it. So, you know, unclear exactly what the reality is, or if it just means that it's all a matter of when he promised her this, can he assume that, well, he can just claim that, whether or not it's true, whether or not everybody does it that way. Maybe it's just a possible claim he can make. Okay, now we're moving on to a separate thing. Okay, we've been talking about Mekadesh al Tanai. So now they're going to talk about Tanaim in general, and we've come across this before about a Tanai Kaful. If you remember, we have the Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe that want to live on the other side of the Yarden, and Moshe makes a Tanai with them, and he says, if you, right, if here, I'll read the pasuk from inside, b'mibra l'amibet kavtet, b'yomer Moshe alehem, im ya'avru b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven itchem et ha-yarden, kol chalutz l'mechama l'fnei Hashem, v'nechbesha ha'aretz l'fneichem, v'netzatem l'chem et eretz ha-gilad l'achuza. So if you go and fight before the, right, in the front lines, and you help capture the land with everybody else, then I'll give you the land you wanted in Eretz ha-gilad. And then he continues to say, the next pasuk, pasuk lamed, it's all in the Torah or if you have it, v'im lo yavru chalutzim itchem, and if you don't go, v'nochzu b'tochachem be'eretz Kanan. Okay, then you'll just get land in Eretz Kanan with everybody else. Okay. So now we're going to have a big machloket about whether this, okay, Rabbi Meir is going to say this is a Tanai Kaful, and we can learn from here to every single other Tanai, that a Tanai has to be a Tanai Kaful. Okay, Rabbi Meir Omer, kol tnai she'eno kitnai b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven, eino tnai she'ne'amar v'yomar lehem im yavru b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven, uchtiv v'im lo yavru chalutzim, etc. Okay, so here he says, since Moshe set up this tnai, and he said both what will happen if you do the tnai and what won't happen if you don't fulfill the tnai, therefore any condition that needs to be made has to be made in both directions. And we saw this before, that if we hold this, well then, we see all these places people didn't say the full Tanai. So you have to assume that they just said the beginning, but they obviously said the rest of the Tanai also. Okay, but it's a big question. Rabbi Yonatan Milunil tries to give a reason for this, and he says that maybe if you didn't say it fully, then maybe you didn't intend to observe it fully. In other words, lots of times people say, on the condition that you do this, but in the end, they're not so makpid on it. So maybe he's saying that if you really fully spell it out and you say, if you do this, then that will happen, but if you don't do this, then that won't happen, then you've fully spelled it out and it's clear you really mean what you're saying. Sometimes, right, we do it all the time with our kids, you know, if you don't do this, then, right? But you don't usually say, if you do this, then this will happen. If you don't do this, then that will happen, right? If you really said that, you probably would keep to your word more. I think that's where he's coming from. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Tzarich Hadavar LaOmro. Don't assume, listen to this tonight very carefully. Don't assume that if Moshe had just said, if you go, then you'll get Eretz HaGilad, and he didn't say the rest, right? If you want to prove that you don't need a Tanai Kaful, what do you have to prove? You have to prove that Moshe had a unique reason for giving the second part of it, right? That has nothing to do with Tanai Kaful. It was particular here, what would you assume? Right? Not all times when you have a condition is what's the exact opposite, right? Here it's not actually the exact opposite. So here he says, it could have been, if you go, then you get nachala in Eretz Gilad. And if you don't, you won't get anything. You won't get nachala. Okay, so now we're going to have a bit of a dusiach between the two. And so therefore he says the Tanai Kaful, this isn't a Tanai Kaful in general. This is for this unique case, it needed to be spelled out. Now, it's true that if you start looking at many cases, it could be also you'd have to spell things out better. Because it's not, there's not always, you know, the, now in our case, let's say, Almanachi Yesh Lebeit Korafar, either Yeshlo or Einlo, if he doesn't, she's not Mekudeshet. It's clear, but it could be there's other cases where it's not as clear like this. So now, the Gemara starts off and says, you know, Shapir Ka'amar Le Rabbi Chanina Begamli Ela Rabbi Meir. That's a pretty good point that they're making. So what are you going to say about that, Rabbi Meir? So Amar Lecha Rabbi Meir, Isal Kedata Lav Litznai Kaful Hu Da'ata, Lichto V'im Lo Ya'avru V'nyochzu B'tochachem. Be'eretz Kenan Lamali, Shmamina Litznai Kaful Hu Da'ata. What does he say? He says, we learn Tanai Kaful not from the whole Tanai Kaful, the second one, but from the words Be'eretz Kenan. Because he could have said, V'im Lo, then you'll get Nachala. Okay, because then we know that you get Nachala, as opposed to what Rabbi Hanina says, otherwise we think they wouldn't get Nachala. Okay, you get Nachala, but because it says Be'eretz Kenan, that comes to stress that it's that you need a Tanai Kaful. Okay, it wasn't necessary to say Eretz Kenan. So the fact that they said it, you need Tanai Kaful. So how is Rabbi Chanina going to respond to that? Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Ilo katav rachmana be'eretz Kenan, hava amina b'nechzu b'tochachem be'eretz Gilad. Aval eretz Kenan klal lo. He says you needed the eretz Kenan because otherwise what might you have thought? You might have thought that you wouldn't get in eretz Kenan, but what would you have gotten? In eretz Gilad. What do you mean? That's what they were looking to get, right? That's what they get. So now what's he going to say? That the assumption is, without the words Eretz Kanan, we would have thought they would have gotten. Now, how did they split Eretz HaGilad into Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Sheva Menashe? So, if you don't fulfill the Tanai, then what's going to happen? You're going to split it 12 ways. The Shvatim are going to split it with you. In other words, that's where you would get the words. The Nechzu B'tochachem. You'll get Nachala together with everybody else in Eretz HaGilad, but you won't be worthy, right? You still, and clearly, you won't be worthy to get in Eretz Kanan. And that's why, and that was what you might have thought. You might have thought, if you don't go fight, how are you going to get land in Eretz Kanan? You have to fight the land, for the land, right? So, assumption number one of Rabbi Chanina was, without this pasuk, what would you have assumed? You're not going to get Nachala at all. If the pasuk said, just v'nochazu b'tochachem, we would have assumed, you're going to get 1/12 of the Gilad. Eretz Kenan is a big chidush, right? According to Rabbi Meir, it was no chidush at all, and that's why it comes to teach you Tanai Kaful. According to Rabbi Chanina, it's a big chidush because without the words Eretz Kenan, you would have assumed for sure they can't get Nachalan Eretz Kenan if they don't go fight for the land. Now, it's true they weren't looking for land in Eretz Kenan, but assuming they don't get their big piece of land they want in Eretz HaGilad, they might want a 12th of Eber HaYarden HaMizrachi and a 12th of Eber HaYarden HaMaravi. Right? They want a 12th of each.
The second half of the clause, though, does say something. Even without the Eretz Kanan, it still states that they will inherit.
Yes.
So it is necessary.
Yeah. So what he's saying is this. He's saying, he's trying to respond to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, you're right, Rabbi Chanina, that without the second clause, we would think they would get nothing, right? That's the first assumption. We think they get nothing. Comes Rabbi Meir and says, well, you're right that we would get nothing, but therefore it has to say, im lo, whatever, then, the nochzu betochachem, you will inherit with them, okay? And therefore, the words Eretz Kenan come to teach you Tanai Kaful, okay? Comes Rabbi Chanina and he says, no. You need the words Eretz Kenan. They're not free to teach you Tanai Kaful, because if you didn't have the words Eretz Kenan, what might you have thought? That the one side of the Yarden will be split up by 9.5 Shvatim equally, right? And the other side that they're looking at, the Eretz HaGilad, right? Eretz Kanan will be split up 9.5 ways, and Eretz HaGilad will be split up into 12, right? They'll get a 12th of that. Whereas if they fight, then what will they get? A 12th of this and a 12th of that, right? But if they don't fight, then they won't get the 12th of Eretz Kanan. They ideally want Eretz HaGilad, right? But if they're not going to get a big piece of Eretz HaGilad, they're going to want more land, a fair share everybody has. So they're going to want a portion of Eretz Kanan and a portion of the Gilad. So therefore, he had to say Eretz Kanan to teach that they will get a part also in Eretz Kanan if they don't go. Okay, that they'll get a 12th of this and a 12th of that. And that's why Eretz Kanan was necessary. So now, Rabbi Meir, what's he going to say? Bitochachem. It says among you, right? Among everybody. So therefore, that part includes already Eretz Canaan, and there's no need to say what you said. You know, Eretz Canaan is still unnecessary. Now we're going to have a braita that shows Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel's position a little more in depth. Tanya, I'm a Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Mashal lema davar domeh. Okay, this is going to make it a little more clear what he says. La'adam shaya mechalek nechasav lebanav. Amar, okay, it's like a person who's splitting up his Yerusha. What does he say? He's got three sons. Amar ploni bini yirash sadeh plonit. Okay, I'm going to give one whole field to one son. Okay, next one. Uploni bini yirash sadeh plonit. Okay, and number two is going to go to my number two son. Uploni bini, and my third son, okay, yitain matayim zuz v'yirash sadeh plonit. Okay, if he gives me 200 zuz, or if he, I don't know exactly who he gives it to, the guy's dad, but whatever, he'll pay 200 zuz, and he'll get the third field. Vim lo yitain, right, he's obviously just making up some silly case, but vim lo yitain yirash yimachiv bishar nechasim. Okay, and if he doesn't give, what will happen? He will split the two fields with his brothers. Okay, so now we're going to explain. Mi garam lo lirash mechav b'shar nechasim. What's now going to cause him in the end? What's going to happen according to this? He will get, right? He'll get a portion of one. He'll get a portion of two, and three will be split up into three equal parts. You follow? Okay, that's like saying that, right? They will get 1/12 of Eretz Canaan and 1/12 of the Gilad. You understand? That was the conclusion. That's what the Tanai taught us, that they're going to get a equal portion of everything, right? As opposed to him getting his own field, right? Now he's going to split his field into three, but he'll get a portion of the other two fields. But migaramlo, right? What caused that? The kfelo, right? The fact that he was kfel the Tanai. But if not, what would happen? What would you assume if you didn't be kfel the Tanai? If you pay the 200 zuz, what will happen? Right? You'll get the full field. If you don't pay the 200 zuz, what will happen? This third field will be split equally between you and your three brothers. Forget about one and two. You're not getting that. That belongs to your brothers. In other words, it was an extra, right? And as it sounded like, without the kfilat tanai, you would assume he gets this, he gets that, and you have a particular condition attributed to your thing. If you don't do it, you're going to have to split it with everybody else. Okay? Which is like what they said about the gilad. They wanted the gilad. If you weren't kfil the tanai, what would we have assumed? That, what are you going to get now? You're going to get a 1/12 of the Gilad. If you fight, then you'll get your big portion of the Gilad. If you don't fight, you're only going to get a 1/12 of that. For sure, you're not getting Eretz Canaan. That's why we need the pasuk Eretz Canaan to teach you, right, the words, that you'll also get Eretz Canaan. Without that, you wouldn't have thought that. Now, what's the problem with this? How did we start our sugya? What did we say from the Mishnah? Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel said that if you hadn't said anything, what would we have assumed? Do you remember? If you fight, you'll get, and if you don't fight, you'll get FS, nothing. Remember? Now, according to this braita, what is Chanina ben Gamliel saying? If you didn't have the kfilat tonight, what would we have assumed? That you get 1/12 of the gilad only. You follow? And the tonight kaful is teaching you that you actually get 1/12 of everything, right? Both Eretz Canaan and both the gilad. So the Gemara is going to ask that right now. In other words, our Mishnah assumed that Rabban Gamliel thought that without the tonight you get nothing. Without the tonight kaful, you get nothing. And the bride assumes you get 1/12 of the gilad. So something doesn't jive here. So now that's what the Gemara is going to say. Alma kfeila l'shar nechasim hu dekamahane. So now they're saying, therefore the kfeila, right, was teaching about the other nechasim, because without the kfeila you would have at least assumed the gilad. The kfeila is teaching about Eretz Canaan. I think I'm reading from the wrong place. One second. That's the question, right? According to this, the kfeila is coming for shar nechasim, but the gilab is obvious. And it doesn't say it inside, but they're obviously saying, and this contradicts our Mishnah, which assumed that the kfeila was coming to teach you get something rather than nothing. So then they say, lo kasha. Ha makame dinema le Rabbi Meir, v'nochzu. Ha labatar dinema le Rabbi Meir, v'nochzu. There was a progression of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel's opinion. First, he said, I would have thought you would have gotten FS. Then came Rabbi Meir, and he said, no, but it says v'nochzu, and he said from there we learn, right, that nochzu teaches you what you wanted to teach, but the Eretz Canaan is extra, and that teaches you the Tanai Kaful. Once he heard that, then he rethought his position, and he changed it. He said, you're right, you wouldn't get FS, but you wouldn't get the full thing. You get 1/12. That's what we would have thought, okay? So he changed his position a little bit. Okay, now what the Gemara is going to do, and this continue on to tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to bring all sorts of other Tanai Kafuls and basically say, oh, we see here there's a Tanai Kaful, we see there there's a Tanai Kaful, and how do you relate, right? So in this case, we had a very good answer that we said that Rabbi Chanin is going to say, well, without the Tanai Kaful, you would have assumed you get either nothing or you would have gotten only 1/12 of the Gilad. What is he going to say for all these other cases? So now, by the way, if you remember, when we learned about Tanai Kaful, they quoted all these cases, okay? I think Rashi brought them up because it came from this Gemara. This is the Gemara about Tanai Kaful, and they brought up all these other Tanai Kaful cases that show up in the Torah. Bishlama Rabbi Meir, Hainu Dichtiv, Im Tetiv Se'et, Vim Lo Tetiv, Lepetach Hatat Rovetz. By the way, this is the most halachic of all of them, and that's why this is the example given. But the other ones come up in terms of conversations and things. So this is when God punishes Cain. What does he say? Im tetiv, if you improve, you know, you go to better ways, then say, things will be good for you. Vim lo tetiv, lepetach chatat rovetz, right? The sin is going to follow you, basically, and you'll have a bad life. So, why did he need to say that? He could have just said, im tetiv se'et, and it would be obvious that im lo tetiv, lefetach hatat rovetz. Ela l'Rabbi Chanina l'amali. So that works very well, Bishlama started out, l'Rabbi Meir. Makes a lot of sense. Tanai Kaful. L'Rabbi Chanina l'amali. So now, what's Rabbi Chanina going to have to say? In all these cases, it wasn't obvious what the im lo would have been. Salkada tachamina im tetiv igra. If you, right, what did he assume? That if you didn't have the Tanai Kaful, what would you assume? If you go in a good way, right, and you turn to good ways, then you'll get igres sachar. You'll get sachar. Im lo tetiv, lo igra velo dina. If you don't do, then your life will just be neutral. It won't necessarily be bad for you, it just won't be good for you. Kamash malan. Therefore, it has to teach you, right? Therefore, God said to him, and if you don't, then things will be very bad for you. Okay, next one. Bishlama l'Rabbi Meir, hainu dichtiv, az tinakem me'alati. Ela l'Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, lamali. Okay, this is a little bit confusing, this one, because this is the story with the Eved Avraham who goes to find a wife for Yitzchak. Now, if you recall in the parsha there, in the psukim, what happens? First, Avraham has a whole discussion with the Eved. Then the Eved goes to Beit Lava, to Beit Betuel, and he has a whole conversation there, and he tells him, well, my master told me this, and then he said this, and blah, blah, blah. So now we're going to take from both those conversations, and we're going to piece it together and make a whole, and the assumption of this Gemara is, which if you read the Chama Leibowitz, not necessarily her assumption, right? Her whole read of the story is that when he came to their house, he worded things differently because of the scenario. The pshat of this Gemara is that they all work together, and if he quoted and said that, My Adon said this, you know, Avraham said this to me, it must have been Avraham said it, it just didn't appear in the text. Okay, that's the working assumption of this Gemara. So now, it says, as tinakem me'alati, meaning you'll be free from my shvu'ah that I made you swear. Okay, now what's the whole pasuk? It says here, you can look in the Torah org, it's the third one, as tinakem me'alati ki tavo mishpachti v'im lo yitnu lecha. If you go to my family and they won't let you marry her, then you'll be free of the swear I swore. Now, if you look at Rashi, he points out here, okay, four lines from the bottom, Bishlama the Rabbi Meir, okay, a little bit later, it says, earlier it says, im lo el beit avi telech. Okay? If I don't, in other words, you're sworn that you have to go to my family. Okay? So what we're basically saying is, and by the way, this all comes up in the part where the Eved is talking to her family, okay, to Betuel and their family, and he's telling them that first, and as they don't bring both together, but first it says, you have to swear that I will go to your family, and then the flip, right, the kaful is, and if they don't let you marry her, then you're free. Okay, so Ella Rabbi Chanin Begamli Alamali, what do you need it for? So they say, Itzrich, Salkada Tachamina, Hecha Denichala Ledida, Velonichale Leditu, Maite Bal Korchayu, Kamash Malan. It had to say that if the family doesn't want me, then I'm free, because maybe there would be a scenario, right? And you can see from the story, this is one of those, you know, in hindsight, they think about, maybe there'll be a situation where she wants to go, but they don't want her to go. Okay? And then you might think, right, that if she wants to go and they don't want you, you force her to come. Comes this pasuk to teach you that if the family doesn't want it, then you're free from your shvuah. You don't have to bring her. Okay? That's the chidush of this pasuk. And it has nothing to do with the Tanai Kaful. Okay? So now they're just going to bring up, okay, now we're getting into what I talked about before, that now they're going to merge the two versions. Because, by the way, it happens to say in the first version, where Avraham told the Eved to go, what did he say? Im lo toveha isha. If she doesn't want to come, then you don't have to. So now what happens? In the place where Avraham is speaking, what does he say? Im lo toveha isha. Okay? And when the Eved is talking to the family, what does he say? Im lo toveh, I'm not sure if I'm writing it exactly, but im lo toveh, right, the mishpacha, I don't remember the words, but, right, im... Right, im lo yitnu lacha. Okay, that's the word. Okay, it's okay. Im lo yitnu lacha. Okay, so now what would Nechama say about this? Well, when he came to the family, right, he wanted to stress the family, right? He wanted to say, your value, your opinion is important to me. But when Avraham said it, he was focusing on the woman. Okay, but with the Gemara looks at this and says, what do you mean? Right? It says, in lo toveha isha, okay? And then, so why does it say, in lo toveha isha lamali? Itzirich, salkadat hachamina, hecha denichale lididhu, velo nichala ledida, neite baal korcha, kamash malan. So how does the Gemara reconcile all this? They say that in the end, it's a combination. You need both her agreement and the family's agreement. Now that you might have thought that if the family agrees, we don't really care about the woman, kamashman, that you need her to agree also. This, by the way, is interesting in light of kiddushin and the dad of the woman. Okay, now, it's actually lahalacha, if she's a ktana, the father marries her off, he could do it against her will. But here, they're pointing out that it's good to have her on board also. Okay, and then he'd be free if she didn't want to come. Okay, next case. Bishlamala Rabbi Meir Hainu Dichtiv Im Bechukotai Telechu V'im Bechukotai Timasu. Right, this is in right, Parshat Bechukotai where it starts listing all, right, the bracha and the klala. So it gives you the list. If you go my ways, this will happen to you. And if you don't go my ways, things will be very bad for you. So Elala Rabbi Chanin Ben Gamli Alamali, what's he going to do with that? Right, again, this proves Tnai Kaful. So again, he's going to say the same answer he said before. Itzrich, Salkada Tachamina, Im Bechukotai Telechu Bracha, Im Bechukotai Timasu, Lo Bracha Velo Klala, Kamash Malam, right? You might have thought, well, you don't get anything, not a bracha, not a klala, it's just, your life will be fine. Bishlama the Rabbi Meir, Hainu Dichtiv, Im Tovu Ushmaten, Vechule, Ve'im Timanu Umiritem. Okay, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek Aleph, where he says, if you go in my ways, tuva aretz tochelu, you'll eat the good of the land. Ve'im tima'anu miritem, and if you go against God's ways, cherev tu'uklu, okay, you will eat the sword, kipi Hashem diber, okay, meaning things will be bad for you. So again, it's going to be the same. Ahalach, el Rabbi Chanin megamli alamali, itzrich salkadat achamina im tovu tova, ve'im tima'anu, and if you don't go, lo tova ve'lo ra'a, ka mashmalan. Okay, we'll end with this one last line. My cherev to uklu. What does this mean? Now again, they're going off on a tangent. What does this mean? Cherev to uklu. Amarava milcha galalnita melech, that which is melech gas, like hard salt, like those big pieces of salt. I mean, we actually eat that, but I think it means in a more negative way. Nahama desare akusha and lechem bread that's made of barley, hard barley bread. Akusha is hard. Ubatzle betzalim. Okay, onions. Da'amar mar pat purani chareva b'melech u'btzalim kashim laguf kicharavot. Okay, cherev te'uklu means you're going to eat this hard barley bread with salt and onions, with this hard salt and onions, and because they say that someone who eats that, it's very bad for their body. It's like swords, right? You ever have these stomach pangs that feel like there's swords in your body? So that's what it means, cherev te'uklu. Okay, so. then tomorrow we're going to continue with more of these. Okay, we're going to get to the Sota one, which is where we saw this, about the Im Tisteh and Lo Tisteh. Okay, it was another place where we saw this Kaful aspect. Okay, this is good. It's a good review of things we've seen before. It brings it back together. What?
What's the halach at the end? Like, you do have to say...
So one thing I didn't point out, which is very interesting, maybe we'll talk about a little more tomorrow, is there's a whole machloket about whether Rabbi Meir means you need a Tanai Kaful in every situation, or is it only Kiddushin and Gerushin and not Mamonot? Or it depends also what kind of condition you set up. There's a machloket about whether we understand it for which lashon. Like there's an almanat lashon, there's a bit. Which lashon of tnai do we talk about it? So we paskin that you need tnai kaful, but it's not like there's a difference of opinion about exactly in which situations and in which. So I don't remember exactly the details. I'll try to look it up for tomorrow and give you a clear cut what the answers are.